And welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. I'm Paul Dottino. He is Jeff Fiegels.
Are you sure?
I think so. Huh? Is it the other way around?
No, definitely. You are Paul. I'm Jeff.
At Giants WFAN, he is Jay Fiegels, all one word. And we are here for the next hour to talk Giants football with you. Our number is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also, if you feel compelled to get us on Twitter, you can go to Twitter and go hashtag Giants Chat. We'll see if we can get to some of your questions and comments over the internet as well. Jeff, I thought today's topic would be a rather interesting one because we are talking about a Giants team that is still trying to build for success in 2018, and everybody knows you can't do it just one way. It does have to be done via free agency and the draft together. So I thought the question we would ask the fans today, and I'll give it to you first up, is which position needs to be filled in free agency first, the one that's most important, the key spot, so that when you go into the draft, you kind of don't have to worry about that one anymore?
I am worried about that helmet that's about ready to fall off our set. Will you move it for me?
Yes, I will.
Seriously, that was about ready to go.
It did look like it, didn't it? Why
is that?
So there
you go.
Who's touching our helmet?
I don't know, but here's the deal. That did not cost us any money. Nothing on the cap. We fixed it. Right?
That one, too.
Okay. But I think, listen, we know where we have to go with the first, where we have to fix things.
Okay. I think it's been made pretty clear by both Gettleman and Shurmur that the offensive line is their top priority. But the question remains, with the kind of money that free agent offensive linemen have been demanding over the last several years, do the Giants necessarily have to go that route in free agency?
I believe they have to go that route for one player. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to get one, okay? Here's the other thing. You got to look at your own roster. What about DJ Fluker?
And what about Pugh and Richburg? Three guys.
Yes. I think that Richburg and – I think that Richburg will be back if he decides that he's going to play for X. I don't think the Giants – this is my opinion now. I don't think
it's always our opinion. Let's make that clear.
I don't think the Giants are interested in paying him the money that he's probably going to want, and I believe that Justin Pugh is going to get paid by somebody because of his versatility of what he plays at guard and tackle, and I just don't know if the Giants are prepared to dish out that type of money because they don't have it, okay? But can they make a splash, a little ripple in free agency with a guard or a tackle? I think they have to. And then that's going to predicate itself on what happens in the draft about going after some other offensive linemen. There are a lot of offensive linemen that you can get in this draft in the mid-first to the second rounds area that will be good players for you. Okay, now, one thing about the draft, and you know this, Paul, is that the draft is all about slotting players for their position, for their price tag. Mm-hmm. So you have a rookie pool that you know you're going to do, okay? So the draft is taken care of as far as the money. So
yeah, you know what you're going to need.
And you know what you're going to need, and you know what you can get, and those are kind of the way it is. Now, the offensive line, you're going to have to try to fix that. But I think that Coach Shurmur hit the nail on the head in his press conference when he had it, when he got hired. He said, you know, a lot of times people just want to go out and spend money and bring in free agents and this and that. A lot of times they don't look at getting the players they have on the roster to play better. Now, we have heard this before, right?
Of course.
I mean, Jerry Reese did that last year.
That is also the least expensive way to go.
It is. However, I believe that Hal Hunter, who is the new offensive line coach here, you have a guy that's going to come in here and take a look at the personnel that he has and decide if he can believes that he can make any of those guys better. But my point is this. One splash with a free agent and an offensive lineman, maybe signing DJ Fluker back at a reasonable deal. You got to have some other money to spend somewhere else, too. You need some linebackers, by the way. You got James Betcher, who's going to play at 3-4. You need some linebackers. And you got some money you're going to have to go spend there. Now, don't forget, too, Paul, is that just because you have mid-20s million now, there's going to be some players – renegotiating deals. There's going to be some players being cut. There's going to be more money than $25 million in the next, March 14th, around there is when free agency starts. And actually, for those that want to read something very interesting.
What do you got?
I read it today, and it's actually will open people's eyes about how free agency works and the tampering that goes on amongst teams. Albert Breer wrote an article on Monday Morning Quarterback. Just go on there and read it.
Let's make it clear, tampering was his word, not Jeff's.
Yes.
You're just repeating the words that were in the article.
There's no question. And my point is that it's very interesting read. And because I was part of it for so many years, some of it is true. Now, none of this – you're going to read the article and go, is Fiegel's really, you know, really comparing this article to him as a free agent? This has nothing to do with a punter free agent. This is a big-time free agent guy that they're talking – name not mentioned, but you'll get the idea of, like, you know, really? Free agency starts when?
Yes.
Well, free agency basically, according to this article, free agency starts the year before free agency starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really, it's a great article. So.
Yeah, simply put, there are a lot of ways to recruit free agents. Let's just say that. And you don't have to necessarily do it the hardcore, first-hand, conversational way that the rules will prohibit.
And for those that don't get to read the article, one of the ways that this all this stuff goes down is on game day. It goes down on game day. The agents are at the games, right, watching the games, and they're talking to the coaches on the sidelines, and they're talking to the players, and the coaches on the other teams are talking to the players. They're not sitting there asking them, hey, how's your family doing? How many kids you got now? It's more like, hey, how would you like to be a Giant or a Buccaneer next year? You know, we're looking to da-da-da-da-da, and here comes another coach. Okay, I'll see you later, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Now go have a good one today.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works. I will tell you, I know this for a fact because I remember when – and I can say all this stuff now because it doesn't really matter. But I remember when I was with the Seattle Seahawks, Jim Fossil was with me when I was in Arizona as the offensive coordinator.
Sure.
Well, he's the head coach of the Giants at the time, and we were playing the year before. We were playing the Giants when I was a Seahawk, and Jim Fossil had specifically told me, how'd you like to be a Giant? I go, I'd love to be a Giant. Why? He goes, well, you know, maybe we can make a run for you in free agents. I said, well, I'm not a free agent for another 2 years. Right?
Two years out? 2 years.
But I think Jim thought I was a free agent coming up. But later did I find out that Fossil wanted to trade for me that next year, okay?
Oh, wow.
But Holmgren said no. Holmgren said no. And I
think, you have any idea what the offer was?
Oh, definitely 2 first-round picks. There's no question. I mean, it had to be, you know?
I get it.
Seriously? Right, I mean, come on. So, but I mean, back to our point is that there's so many stuff that goes on around the league behind things like this. But the great article, if you want to read it, I know we got off topic there, but, you know, it has to do with free agency, what the Giants are going to be able to do, and free agency with the money that they have. A lot of things coming down the pike here soon enough. But I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about all the free agents coming up. We know about the combine coming up soon. But, you know, free agency is right around the corner.
Yeah, it certainly is. And back to the original question, though, and we do want to talk about all those other things as the months progress. In terms of that offensive lineman, you said the Giants maybe should make one big splash. Does that big splash necessarily have to be someone outside the building? Or re-signing Justin Pugh would be considered a big splash? Because I think most people think he's going to get some very large numbers.
I think that... you know, I think the health of Justin Pugh is one thing that's going to hurt him going forward, even though he's versatile. But I think that you have to take a good look at that. You know, he did miss a lot of games last year with that
There's
back.
No question.
Now, no surgery, which is a good thing, okay? But my point, a big splash is mean I think that they have to go out and get a free agent from another team.
Right. 201-939-4513 is our phone number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's head to the phone lines and start the program with Ben from Dallas. You're first up on the show. Hello.
Hi, how are y'all doing today?
Hi, great. How are you?
Good, good. I had a question about the schematics of the offense and defense. Really interested in analytics. I was reading an article, and it said that the Patriots and the Eagles both use analytics to a certain extent.
Everybody uses them.
Point.
Everybody uses them. They're all just, yeah.
Yeah, to different degrees, there are some teams that rely on them more heavily than others. But everyone in the league now is kind of thinking that you got to have some type of analytics in your department.
Well, look at the Cleveland Browns. They have a baseball guy they used to that was running the football program.
How'd that work out?
Analytics.
So how many wins did they have the last 2 years?
If you want to go where I think you're going is that the Eagles and the Patriots were in the Super Bowl because of analytics. I think it just happens to be all of them. I know the Giants do. John Berger here is the guy that runs the analytics part of it here. They do all kinds of stuff like that. So everybody is trying to get a leg up, if you will. Get that punting leg up.
Wow, he's just full of it today.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
So, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so anyhow, so analytics, like when it comes to whether or not we should go for it on 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2 and how we're going to game plan for the week and all the analytics, is that involved heavily with all those decisions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it also comes down to football. It comes down to, you know, like, for instance, Doug Peterson is a guy that likes to go for it on 4th-down a lot. Mm-hmm. The analytics are going to tell you not to. So I think that there is a little bit of football gut feelings in some of these calls, but I think that they do, when they're game planning, they do rely heavily on analytics and computer models. You know, a lot of the quality control guys around these buildings, not only in the Giants, they're pumping stats into computers. Computers are spitting out tendencies. You know, on 3rd-and-1, this is the tendency that the team does. So all this stuff is formulated and then put into a game plan every week against a different opponent because every opponent's different.
You know, I would add this too, Jeff. While I appreciate the value in analytics, and I think, you know, I understand why every team in the NFL uses them to some extent, I would also say the Tom Landrys, the Don Shulas, the Bill Parcellses, the Bill Walshes of the world, they didn't need analytics to you know, construct Hall of Fame careers. Now, I know the game has changed. I understand that. And the modern era kind of forces you to do more of that stuff because there are so many specific kinds of things and different changes and packages that have occurred in the new game. But still, ultimately, a great football coach is a great football coach because he also has the instincts and the intellect to go off that page
right,
when he has to.
And that was my point. I think they look at the numbers, they look at the analytics, but it does come down to just football sometimes and having gut feelings. I mean, you know, as a fan, you're sitting there at home watching a game or in the stands watching a game live. You're kind of your instinct is like, I think we should go for it here. And sure enough, what happens? They go for it because you know what? Your instinct is a lot the same as the coaches at that point in time, no matter what analytics say about it.
Yeah.
It's the tempo of the game. It's the situation of the game. It's the how much time is left in the quarter. Who's getting the ball in the second half. There's a
flow
lot of
momentum is a big deal.
Momentum is huge in the National
big
Football
deal.
League.
Big deal.
Big deal. I mean, you really look at the Patriots, who are a team that went out, and they for some reason they always had the ball at the last drive of the second half. They put points on the board, and they get the ball in the second half.
Yeah, you mean the end of the second quarter.
End of the second quarter.
Right.
And then they get the kickoff and they go down.
And that turnaround becomes dramatic.
It's a huge momentum swing.
No question.
You know, so it puts them, if they're behind going into halftime, at least they're not behind as much. And then they're getting the ball after the half is over and they go down and score. Now that even though they were behind mentally, they're basically back in the game or even ahead by the time they get the ball and they score in the second half.
Yeah. All right, Ben, anything else?
Can I sneak in a question about
go ahead.
A couple of linebackers in the draft?
What do you got?
Marquise Haynes, Ole Miss, defensive end, linebacker, and Shaquem, however you say, Griffin, the guy missing the hand, who's the linebacker, too. Any chance that the Giants may look at them late in the game?
Well, I think there's a lot of speculation as to where the gentleman without the hand's going to go because his production was very high.
Yeah.
In college. But I'm going to say this to you, and I don't mean any disrespect to him whatsoever, but I think you would agree with me, Jeff. We've seen the problems that JPP had when wearing the mitt or the club.
Does he wear it? I don't know.
Well, last year he didn't until the last month of the season when he re-injured his hand and he had to wear that club again.
JPP. No, I'm talking about this. The corner.
No, he does not.
Yeah, okay.
But my point is, without the full use of both hands, I've seen firsthand, if you will, and I'm not trying to be funny, how JPP's game was affected. So it's my opinion that if that college player makes it into the NFL, it's my opinion his effectiveness will be limited by not having one of his hands. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be disrespectful to him. It's just that I've seen JPP miss too many tackles and not be the same player that he's supposed to be because of the mitt or the club that made him virtually a one-handed player. And I don't know how else I can say it, Jeff.
Well, I think it's a good point. I mean, obviously, 99.9% of the or 100% of the people in the league are playing with all of their hands and feet. So I think that this is an incredible story about
a great
guy that has.
And I wish him well. I really do.
And I think that he will get a shot in the National Football League. And to answer your question, who knows? I mean, maybe the Giants are going to be down one draft pick this year because of the Ross Cockrell pick.
No,
right?
they're going to be up a pick in the fourth round, probably getting a compensatory for Hankins. So they'll have five picks in the first four rounds in all likelihood. They will lose their seventh because of Cockrell. So they'll actually have their regular full complement of picks, but they'll be shifted. They'll get the extra four, but they'll lose the seven.
Gotcha.
In all likelihood.
Yeah, okay. Because of the Hankins, I didn't realize that they're going to get a compensatory pick.
That's what
that.
It looks like.
Okay.
It's not for sure yet, folks, but
gotcha.
It looks like it. Which will be very valuable. Five picks in the first four rounds is excellent. Ben, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to the next caller. It's Travis out of Queens. Hello, you're up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hi, Jeff, what's up? How you guys doing?
Hi.
Good, how are you?
Good, good, good. Jeff, when you have the quizzes, man, that's the most funniest part towards the end of the show.
Oh, the quiz. Oh, yeah,
year.
That's not easy. I'm telling you.
I see.
I'm telling you, it's hard. I mean, and there are some guys like last week. I was telling Paul, John thought he had it all planned out. Well, the three guys he gave me last week were actually really good friends of mine, so I knew them right away.
Right.
You know, but and then also Paul asked me off the air. He goes, "Do you ever get any of them wrong that like recently?" And I said, "Yes. There's guys that I played with like in 2007 and the Super Bowl team that I didn't even know. I mean, I know the whole team." For the Super Bowl, but we're here like, you know what I'm saying? They were here like for a cup of coffee and they were on the roster.
Right.
But anyway,
it was one point John asked him. He said, yeah, oh, that's something. And he was so wrong. It was hilarious.
I was so confident that I knew. Oh, yeah, I definitely played the guy. And I was so wrong.
Really?
Oh, just off the charts. 100%.
That's horrible.
Horrible.
It was
it's a fun game. It could go live. Yeah. It could go live one day. Yeah. Like HQ Live. Yeah, whatever. What's going on?
I'm calling, right? I'm calling about Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
And John and Lance, like, they are so against taking him number two. And I get all the reasons, right? But here's why I think worst case scenario, right, is this. I think, let's say the Giants get one player in free agency, come around the second round of the draft, they pick up another guard or tackle, right? Here's why I still think you would go Barkley is because of the threat he would be in the Giants' offense. I mean, last year, for the past 3 years, you know, it's a lot of pressure on Odell and it's a lot of pressure on Eli. If you have a home run hitter and Saquon Barkley in your backfield, it would lighten the load for Eli, and it would lighten the load for Odell Beckham, you know. And I think now, don't get me wrong, if he's not there, I would love to trade down. The theory of trading down, but I just think in that position, that the number two pick, he looks like the most complete player in the draft, and two, I just think he's a home run waiting to happen.
No question, he's definitely a home run waiting.
Okay. Big time player.
There's no question about. Like, remember, we got four quarterbacks or maybe five quarterbacks that everybody's kind of hemming and hawing that he should be two and this should be three. There is no question that Saquon Barkley could and is probably the best player in the draft this year.
Right.
So, what are you going to do? And it's so much up in the air because it really depends on what Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur and that crew think about this quarterback class. And are you going to bet on the come here and get a guy that's going to sit because you got Eli Manning? Or are you just going to say, if we could just improve our running game, fix up our offensive line, and button up the defense, we'll be a good team, then Saquon Barkley's your guy, or you trade the picks?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
no argument here.
I mean, it's just it's not that simple, but it seems to be very simple. You either like the quarterbacks or you don't. Then if you don't, then you go to step B.
See, I think Davis Webb is still part of that equation. I think if you really believe in Davis Webb, that lessens the need for the QB.
Well, there was a lot of stuff on Twitter today with Davis Webb working out that I saw with Evan Engram. I mean, it's on Twitter. They were throwing. I don't know where they were. It looked like the North. Well, it was 78 degrees yesterday.
I mean,
I would have been out there kicking yesterday if I could. You know.
Well, I would have made one more point for I think that. Because John made a comment yesterday about Barkley not being like a workhorse, and I think with 15 carries and him catching the ball five times, that's a workhorse. I mean,
well, I think to be fair, I mean, I did the show with John. He was talking like 20 to 25 touches a game, and certainly Barkley's not going to carry it 25 times a game. At least not initially. Maybe as I said yesterday, he could grow into. As a rookie, I would still, even if I picked him number two, as a rookie, I would still make him part of a three-headed backfield. And only as he matured and as he got pass protection down.
I disagree.
Then I would make him full-time.
No freaking way. But Saquon Barkley.
You don't think him catching the ball?
No.
Was he equivalent to a
workhorse?
To be a workhorse. What are we doing with Wayne Gallman? Where's he going to be?
Well, that's my point. You see, I look again.
But my point is to
Barkley's
this is
an option for me. I'm not ruling him out.
Okay.
Let me make that clear. I'm not ruling out Barkley. But if I draft Barkley, Barkley becomes, in my mind, he and Gallman are your primary backs, 1 and 1A. Okay, and Perkins is my third down back. Why? Because I think Perkins has very good hands. I think he's very elusive in the open field, and I also think he knows his pass protection very well.
I think that Saquon Barkley checks every one of those boxes where he's in on all three downs.
Right away?
Right away.
Okay.
I don't take a number two pick in a running back if I'm going to weed him along. There's no way.
And if he fails to pick up a blitz in week three, well, and your 37-year-old quarterback is sitting on the sidelines because he's hurt?
He's going to fail one time, but you know what?
And
so are the other guys.
That may be the time that Eli's knocked out of the game.
So are the other guys.
Wow. Anyway, go ahead. Anyway, bottom line is I'm not saying no to Barkley. It is absolutely a consideration for me.
Right.
Okay.
Right. We got that.
No.
This show's taped, so we know that.
Dolph or the guy from the 49ers that's going to become a free agent.
Carlos Hyde.
Who do you think is like a better player as far as like, because I'm saying if they lose Dolph, I wouldn't mind, if the price is not too high on Carlos, so I think he's like another addition over a Dolph, I think.
Well, you got a couple things to take into account here. First of all, Orleans Darkwa's injury history over his career, he has not been the most durable. And you want him to continue to be a power back. It's something you must think about before you offer him any kind of numbers if you're going to bring him back. I think the other thing you have to think about is if you really are sure that you're going to have a shot at Barkley, the Browns won't take him number one, which they could.
I'm telling you, they could just surprise everybody.
They could take him there. Now, if you don't think that's going to happen and you got a shot at him at two and you're convinced that you want him and you're going to be like Jeff Eagles and get him in there full-time right away and make him your lead guy.
Yes, you are.
Then you know what?
You don't need Darkwa.
I don't think you signed Darkwa.
Well, first of all, Darkwa was a free agent, so you're going to sign him before you draft Barkley anyways. So that's going to tell you.
I'll be honest, as much as I like Orleans Darkwa, I don't think the market is going to be so hot for him that he's going to be signed right away. I think he's going to be out there for a while.
Okay. Past the draft.
Thank I could see that.
Okay. He's a good special teams player.
He is.
So I like
Orleans Darkwa.
Someone might just, say, hey, you know what, we can take you as a running back. You know, you have a history of injuries, but you're a hell of a special teams player. He's probably one of the best special teams player on Giants.
I agree with that.
Which somebody will take that into account and bring him in. So I think that let's make a little wager here,
and by the way,
Tino.
To his question, though. Carlos Hyde is not a special teams guy.
No, no, he's just a running back.
So
he's a better running back than Orleans Clark was.
So if you're the Giants and you're thinking about what is this running back going to do for us and you want him to also help on special teams, then you really don't want to look at Carlos Hyde. Darkwa is of more value to you, is he not?
Yeah, but I just think that I first of all, I think that Orleans Darkwa will be signed before the draft.
You do?
Yep.
Okay.
And if just for the reason I stated, okay, I think he's very good on special teams and he could be an effective number two, number three running back if you need him to be. I mean, Orleans Darkwa is not a starting running back in this National Football League, in my opinion.
Okay.
For some team. I really don't think so. That's just me. But the other thing is that I
thank you for the call.
I think the Giants are in a little bit of a pickle when it comes to that because they got to figure out if they're going to – they're not going to go out and sign a running back in free agency, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I think if they decide that they need a power back in this mix, Jeff, then they might dabble.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. What's the guy's name up there in Minnesota that's a free agent?
Oh, McKinnon?
McKinnon.
He's not – to me, LeGarrette Blount more fits what the Giants need than any of the other – I mean, and even quite frankly, we've also talked about this on the show before, not you and I. Blount is. So is Eddie Lacy, who's had weight problems and had issues in Seattle. But, you know, if you wanted to sign a reasonably priced power back – then you're basically saying we're not going to draft Barkley and we're just going to do something else with that number two pick. You're going to rule out the Barkley option, I think.
I think you as an organization, you've got to have your ducks in a row when you're going to start going into free agency and you have your pecking order and you have to stick with it. They're going to have – they have their – you know, they're evaluating every one of those guys mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. and they're going to have a list. God, I wish we had that list. Wouldn't it be fun to talk about
almighty.
That list?
Yeah, well, right? You know what? It changes, though, every other day, I bet you, too. Well, so that's the other thing.
I don't care what it changes. At least we know that the names are on there.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean? And that would be great.
You know the problem with that, though, if you go upstairs and see that list, they'll lock you in a closet for the next 3 months, and you will never be seen or heard from again.
Most likely, you would never be ever heard from again in this organization if you discussed a list of creators that was found on the floor for some reason, and
right.
we came on Big Blue and said, hey, guys, guess what I found on the floor of the bathroom?
But you know how true. But the funniest part about the whole Barkley conversation, whether or not you believe that he should be in play for the Giants, is that Cleveland could make the whole thing moot by taking him number one. And then it doesn't matter.
And, you know, and we haven't heard anything. You know, a lot of times there's smoke signals that are sent out by organizations and, you know, we don't like
usually
this
all
guy.
Lies. They're usually all lies anyway.
But I'll tell you what, that would have a huge ripple effect down the draft board if Cleveland all of a sudden just said, you know what, we kind of like Kaiser. We kind of like our quarterback. We drafted him in the first round last year, and now we need a running back. Or, you know, are they going to make a run for Kirk Cousins? I mean, this is all going to be – we're going to know this before the draft starts. So, but I think that – you know, the other thing that we haven't talked about, at least you and I.
Yes.
I mean, I've talked about it with John and Lance, mm-hmm. is that number two pick is, you know, that's a king's ransom. If somebody wants that, you can get a lot of picks for that.
I've been saying that for months.
And so, you know, there's another, the third option, as we call it, or I call it, is that, you know, you draft, either do or you don't on the quarterbacks, then you go with the running back, you go with the best guy in the draft, and the third option is – I'm just going to stockpile because I got to rebuild a 3-13 team, the worst team in the history of the national of the Giant organization. I need to build. And if you are Dave Gettleman and you've got 7 picks this year, maybe you can get 10 out of this draft coming up with trade picks, 11.
And if you're going to do a deal for that number two, they're going to be premium picks. They're going to be first, second, third rounders.
So, and as much as the Giants fans are always, most of the time, the glass is half full, I really believe that the Giants think that way, the Giants fans. I really do. They're good fans. I think a lot of them think that they have a lot of confidence in the new regime here that they're going to turn this thing around. You got to be careful about turning it around in 1 year. I mean –
you
the
need
Eagles
to be right. It can be done, but you
How?
Need to be right.
But here's the thing. You got to hit on your $27 million in free agent money, and you're going to have to hit on the draft for players that are going to impact you right away.
Well, and there's no better example than Jacksonville. They had 3 wins, and look what they did this year. Okay. It happened in 1 year.
Well, it can happen.
It can happen.
But I think that you got to address your needs, and you got to hit on them.
You got to be right. You got to be right. No one's going to question that.
You have to be right. You have to be right on number two. Your second pick in an NFL draft, you're going into it saying this guy is going to be a Hall of Famer, this guy's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, and the guy's going to play for me for 8 to 10 years. You got to have that, and you got to hit on that. You can't have this, Leaf, the quarterback. What was his first name?
Ryan Leaf.
Right. You can't have a Ryan Leaf scenario.
Hence why the Giants draft room had a huge party and a huge roar went up when the Saints took George Rogers and they were left with Lawrence Taylor.
There you go. Yeah.
Back in 1981. Line 3.
And who would know that more than anyone else? That would be Paul Dottino.
Daniel from Colorado is next on the show. Hello.
How you guys doing today?
Great.
What's up, Daniel?
Hey, guys, I want to give a shout out to the U.S. women's hockey team.
Woo! Yeah, gold medal, baby. Nice going.
Awesome. Had to say that because my second sport is hockey. So
okay.
All right. Too bad it was on so late last night that nobody could stay up to watch it.
I actually didn't watch it.
Good
but
for
I
you.
It and it was like, right on, great, we did it.
Yeah, that's a great feat. That's good stuff.
So the subject you got today is really, really key because it's been on my mind. So to answer your question about which position, I don't think I can. What I'd probably say is it seems like we can't make a, quote, big splash, more like a medium splash in free agency.
Yeah, like a small ripple, I said earlier,
right?
A little small ripple.
You,
right?
you might be able to make one kind of big splash with the amount of money
right.
you have.
Well,
one
kind
of
Olympic diver.
Olivier Vernon type deal, right? So you got it, like you said, you got to hit on it. And it's probably going to be on a position like linebacker or more. I'm thinking more in the line of a replacement for either Eli Apple or Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie because of the rumors that they could go one or both, you know?
So you think linebacker or cornerback, huh? Interesting.
In free agency you're talking about?
That's what he's talking about.
Cornerback's going to cost you a lot of money.
Well, the premier ones. Maybe we can get somebody that's what I'm trying to say is we can't
Who you looking at?
Premier at any position.
Who are you looking at?
Like even offensive line. In fact, my first knee-jerk reaction was to say offensive line.
Most people do feel that way.
And I'll get back to that in a second. But I started thinking about the secondary. I mean, we're going to have to do something at that position. So I started thinking kind of in the lines of maybe linebacker, secondary, something like that. But that kind of brought me, and I'll ask your comments on this, to maybe another thought process, how this relates to the draft. And the reason I say this is because Gettleman has already kind of said, hey, big priority, if not number one priority, is offensive line. Well, teams then kind of know that's the strategy out there. And so if you don't get somebody for the offensive line through free agency, you look desperate when you get to the draft.
That is
for
true.
That position.
And I will tell you,
desperate at any position going into the draft,
and that's one of the rules of football 101 by front office people. They say never go into the draft if at all possible with a must-have position. That is a dangerous way to go into the draft because it will affect your emotions, and it will force you in many instances to go off your board. Off your evaluation charts, and you will reach for a guy that you don't need to reach for. I'll never forget when the Giants reached for defensive end Cedric Jones, who, if you're a longtime Giants fan, you'll understand. The draft was just absolutely barren after your top 4 picks. They were picking 5th. They badly needed a defensive end. Cedric Jones was sitting there. They took him. The gentleman had issues with partial blindness in one of his eyes coming into the draft. He turned out to be a total bust. And that was one of those times where the Giants went off the book and they went because they had a horrible need to fill and they screwed it up.
What were they seeing? The guy was blind.
It was not a good idea. They knew we could have eye surgery, and they thought that they would, you know, fix his retina and everything, and he would be okay. And that's what happens when you wind up going into the must-have this position. That's what happens.
No, I absolutely agree with that. And so that, you know, that's why I was kind of like, well, and I don't think you can just, you know, fix that by getting a, you know, just a low-level offensive lineman. Everybody's going to look at that and say, great, you got a depth guy. Right? You still got to get a guy if you're going to check that box.
It's got to be a starting caliber guy. And quite frankly, as I've said for two months, Cameron Fleming, to me, appears to be a starting caliber lineman, a tackle who I don't think is going to break the bank. Now, I could be wrong. Remember, last December, the year before, I talked about Whitworth. Then when free agency came to pass, his price went through the roof, and he was not affordable. Then I talked about Riley Reiff. His price started going a little too high, and he was unaffordable. Now I'm talking about Cameron Fleming. Well, what's going to happen to him? Is his price going to go through the roof too? I don't know. But that's the kind of guy I think I would talk about signing if it were me.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I think as it sits right now, if you know, if you're a team right now looking from the outside in, you're probably predicting that the Giants are going to trade down so that they can get some guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm you know, just looking from the outside in, that's kind of what I see. You
okay.
know, maybe. What are your thoughts?
Look, that's been my first priority for a while. I want to trade the pick to get a boatload of premium picks. That's my first priority. My second priority is probably drafting Barkley, provided I do get offensive lineman help in free agency.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm going. And if you've listened to this show at all or follow me on Twitter, you know I'm not taking a quarterback under any circumstances.
No, I'm with you. And to be honest, I don't think Barkley's going to be there. I think Cleveland's going to take him.
He might.
I think it's.
Do you?
I really do.
I think.
I looked at their roster and they got a couple of holes to fill, but I don't think they're going to reach for a roster fill. I think they're going to look for a game changer, and Barkley is a game changer.
Well, listen,
they could easily
take Barkley. They had the fourth pick. They could get one of these quarterbacks.
Sure, they could.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Asked the question before.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I asked the question before in a different call. How good is Deshaun Kizer, and do they have any faith in him? Is he similar to Davis Webb? You know, and so if that's the case, do they even take a quarterback at four?
Yeah, well, that's the question that Jeff raised a little while ago. What do they really believe in Kizer? And, you know, all I know is this. They are in a position with 1-4. They could trade either one of those picks and get a whole shopping cart load of picks back if they really wanted to.
Well, number one would be.
You know, but that's what they've done. That's what they've done for so many years.
I know. And look, and they keep spinning their wheels.
Some guys, but, and Barkley's a guy.
But that's also because Sashi Brown was there, and he went too heavy analytics. I think Hugh Jackson's in control of that franchise now between him.
Well, John Dorsey is.
But he's listening to Hugh.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's got a lot of input.
You got the picks now. Time to take some guys.
Yeah.
So that's
thank you.
I think Barkley. But anyway, gentlemen, it was a good call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'll listen to the rest of the show.
I will tell you that John Dorsey, they got a real football guy in there now.
He's very well respected.
And so I think that he will run the show up there. I think he's a guy that knows football, and he knows how to run a draft. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But, you know, that number one pick, who would want that number one pick? I mean, you look down. You know, the Giants don't want it because they got number two, so big deal, right?
No, it's got to be someone in the lower half that just feels like, you know what,
Arizona,
I got to get this guy.
You know, or, you know, someone, yeah, mm-hmm. Miami, how about, you know, Miami could get a number one draft pick for Landry, trade up all the way to get Jarvis Landry.
Ooh, you want to do that, huh? That's interesting.
Well, I mean, they tagged him, but I don't think they're going to pay him.
I don't think so.
They just wanted
either.
To keep him.
I agree.
That's just the thing, you know.
They just want to get some compensation back.
Yeah.
I want to give you some names, Jeff. The caller was suggesting that the Giants free agent take should be at corner or outside linebacker.
Those are the free agents.
So these are the free agents who made the most money last year. Not necessarily the best players, but the guys who made the most money last year. Free agents at corner include Trumaine Johnson, David Amerson, Jonathan Joseph, Prince Amukamara. Been there, done that, seen him. Brent Grimes, Morris Claiborne, Malcolm Butler. Those are guys who have made approximately $4 million based on last year's salaries or up. of the linebackers, your most expensive guys coming off of previous deals, Connor Barwin, Ahmad Brooks, Eric Walden, and Arthur Motes. I don't know if any of those guys float your boat or rock your world, but if he is going to go corner or linebacker, those would be some of your top names based only on last year's salaries.
I don't like him.
I'm still thinking I'm targeting Cameron Fleming. That's where I'm going. I want to get the tackle in here. That's me. But I understand his point. I mean,
sure.
Do need to get somebody else to help them out in linebacker, no question.
Come on, desperately seeking linebacker. It should be a movie, like Desperately Seeking Susan. They need some linebackers. They got to go from line. They got to get them. And they got to get some speed at that position. Okay? I mean, listen, I'm not worried about the 3-4 defense because I think that James Betcher is going to, you know, if you look at what Arizona did last year, you know, they're not always in a 3-4. They're probably a little more, just a little bit more than they are in a 4-3, but the defense change. They run a 2-4-5 mm-hmm. at times. So this defense is going to change. It's like a chameleon. It will change.
That's what he does.
And that's so. But
it's very fluid.
What is the consistent there? If you run a 2-4-5 or a 3-4, you got to have 4 or 5 linebackers. That tells me I got to go get some linebackers.
Well, you better have a bunch of defensive backs who can play cover, can cover man on the outside. But you also better have safeties who can come up into the box and play that pseudo-hybrid linebacker spot.
Well, I know that a lot of people are saying that Collins is that guy, but I think you don't do that with Collins. I think you find another guy to be that guy. And
you're a big Andrew Adams guy. He
Absolutely.
Could do some of that.
Well, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I just know that the Giants' offensive line and linebacker, if you want to go offense and defense, to me, those are your striking points. Those are where you have to hit it.
By the way, Navarro Bowman is another guy who a lot of people have thrown out, more of an inside linebacker than an outside linebacker, but he came off injury with the 49ers, goes to the Raiders last year, and produces at a very high level.
He's a good player.
And now he's available via free agency. A lot of folks out in Oakland are concerned that he's going to be going elsewhere. I don't think there's any doubt he plays the run extremely well.
Yeah, and I think that he's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He really is a good player. You know, he makes tackles. He's a solid, solid football player.
All right, we go to Antonio. Oh, he's from Philadelphia.
But he's a Giants fan.
I hope so. Line 2 is up. Hello, Antonio.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Hey. I was listening to the show the whole week. I was waiting for you guys to discuss this, the draft value chart.
Yes.
So, from my understanding, I looked at it online. So, from my understanding, the number one pick is worth 3,000 points.
All right. Now, before you go anywhere else, I want to make something very clear to you. There are two draft value charts. There's
right.
the one that was done by Jimmy Johnson years ago when he was with the Cowboys. That's the standard one that most people have looked at over the years. There is a new one that came out last year that was redone and revamped based on only trades that have been done over the last 20 years involving draft choices. That draft value chart assigns different numbers than the one that the Jimmy Johnson one does. And as was explained to me by one of the NFL people involved in these types of negotiations and trades and values and stuff, the problem is some teams still believe that the Jimmy Johnson chart is the basis for their conversations. Other teams believe that the new updated chart, which came out last year, is a better basis for values. And therefore, you could have one team talking about this is what we want to do based on the Johnson chart. The other team says we're basing it on the other chart. And now there's a disconnect because nobody can agree on what the true value of the pick is. So let me just get that out there now before we enter this conversation.
Well, all the picks have 3,000 points for the first pick, so.
Yeah.
Right?
Go ahead. You know what? Let me pull up the other one.
There's a bunch of them here. I don't know who's is.
No, who. No, that's the Jimmy Johnson one. The Jimmy Johnson one has the first pick in the overall draft being worth 3,000 points. The other draft chart, I had it in my, I believe it's in my, no, you know what? I think I left it at home in my office. Go ahead. Go to your point. Go to your point.
So the Giants' number two pick is worth 2,600 points. So from my understanding, so if the Giants were supposed to make a trade, they would have to get picks that will be equal or close to the value of the 2,600 points. Am I correct?
Well, I think if that's the way you want to go, and let's just say that if you want to come and get my draft pick at number two and 2,600, I need to get something at or more than that, right? Is that what you're saying? So if I come and give you, if I'm Arizona and I'm going to give you my 15th pick at 1,050, and I'm also going to give you my second round pick, which is 430, I'm still only at 1,480. I'm well below the number two. Is
See,
that
now,
what you're saying? Is that how it's working?
Yeah, but the other thing you have to consider is that the closer you get to the top five in the first round, those numbers are
have to choose.
Those numbers are not true, because what happens is there's a higher premium. It's almost
right.
like when you pay a luxury tax, you know, with salary caps. So even though you can find picks that will add up to 3,000, that's not enough. You have to get more. There's a bonus.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. You got to get if that at or more.
Now, so you know, the other chart values the number one overall pick in the draft. So you know if you're looking at the one, the right one, as 1,000 points as opposed to 3,000 points. It's a totally different chart.
Yeah, but it's all the same.
It's not quite the same.
Well, it's still in the principle. It's if you're going to give me this, this is what I need to get for that.
Well,
so
that's true.
All these numbers are different. Their analysis is different.
The ratios.
Will you put your screensaver thing on for more than like 30 seconds?
The ratios in the new chart are based on the reality of only draft pick trades that were made over the last 20 years. So that is more based on the reality of what has happened as opposed to what Jimmy Johnson had projected.
Okay, so let's go back. At 717 points is what the Giants' number two draft pick in the new formula is going to be.
Yes.
All right, so same theory.
So
if
go
you're going to give me something for my second round pick,
you're going to have
to
beat 717
You're probably
going
to need to come in at 900 or something.
Probably.
Okay.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay, so therefore, let's look back at last year's pick, where now the Buffalo Bills made the Kansas City Chiefs made the trade with the Buffalo Bills. I think they went from Kansas City went from 27 to number 10. And let me see. From my understanding, the Buffalo Bills got Kansas City's late first round pick. And a second round pick, and then they got this year's Kansas City's pick, which probably will be valued at the
21st pick. All right, here it is.
Pick.
The Mahomes trade. KC traded number 27, a
right.
third rounder, and a first rounder in 18 to move up to number 10.
Okay, so are you trying to figure out if that number sequence would relate to what we're talking about here?
Yeah, basically, would that be a good trade?
I got to get more than that.
Right. That's
because they moved up
to
number 10.
Yeah, I got
to
get a heck of a lot more there, because really, they swapped ones, and all they got out of it was a third rounder this year, and then a first rounder the following year, based on the time of the trade. There's no way I'm taking that if I'm the Giants. I got to get at least double that, at least.
Right. So therefore, if the Giants were supposed to make a trade, they'll probably have to get at least four or five picks, either
minimum four.
Probably another two picks or so for next year. Basically.
Well, it depends how far down you're going to go. But to me, if I'm swapping ones with anybody,
it's got to be in the top 10.
I'm not going down lower than 15. That's the furthest
I'm
going.
Right.
That's the
10.
Lowest I'm going.
Right.
You want to go 10? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go as low as 15, but I got to get your one this year, your two this year, probably your three this year, and your one next year, and maybe even your three next year. I'm really going to town. I want a shopping cart of picks for that pick.
Right. So, okay. All right. My next question is, in terms of our running back, I'm not really a base Barkley fan, because the history of Penn State running backs kind of scares me off there. So I have a pass on Barkley.
Okay.
So looking at
not
the
that he
next
has anything to do
guys,
with their history,
Darius Yousse and Sonny Michel. After the combine, I would say that these two guys might probably be a late first-round pick. So I think the Jazz might have to do something either to get back into the late first-round pick or just hope these guys fall to them in the second round. So
all right.
It's kind of, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, being a Giants fan and just kind of seeing where we're going with this team and where our needs are, I got to believe that if you're not – you got to go after an offensive lineman in that late first to early second round.
Yeah.
You got to have to build through the draft because, you know, you're not going to be able to do it through free agency like they built the defense 2 years ago with $200 million. So where's your need? Do you need to get a running back? Do you need a tackle? You need another center, a guard, or somebody – in the late first round or early second round, in my opinion, you got to go with offensive line there.
We appreciate the phone call.
Yes,
thank you.
Great stuff. In fact, it brought a lot of people probably don't know about this chart.
Or the second chart.
Oh, you see, you just love the second
chart.
It's
important to know.
But you just want to say that I know that you're saying that that's – no, I'm just kidding you. It does. It's fine.
No, it's that there are teams that look at the chart differently because they look at chart B instead of chart A. It's a problem.
Sarcasm. I'm totally with you.
By the way, Nick Chubb out of Georgia is a power back and probably could be their high third round. If you wanted to wait,
Darius Yites is another guy.
Yeah,
could be a guy.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and then we're going to get some Twitters in quickly before we leave. Mike from Pennsylvania, you're up.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Hi,
Mike.
So I wanted to touch on the Saquon Barkley saga.
It's a saga now, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, John, I don't know. In the past, I've heard that John thinks he has subpar field vision. He can't be a bell cow. So decided to crunch the numbers last night after I heard that.
That's Schmuck's subpar.
So the three bell cows in the NFL, I think we're all in agreement, Gurley, Zeke, and Fournette.
Well, I think they're all a little bit different. But yeah.
Here's the bottom line. All right, the NFL has gotten away from a 25-carry-a-game guy.
You got to have a versatile guy that's catching passes, that's blocking, that's running.
And with sub-packages all over the place,
that's what I mean.
You know, it's just, you know.
Okay, but we'll go with that.
Go ahead.
When I say bell cow, I mean 20 to 25 touches.
Okay.
We'll say, you know, touches are included in that. So Gurley, Zeke, and Fournette in their college careers – Gurley averaged 19.5 touches per game. Zeke had 18.6, and Fournette had 20.5. Now, Barkley had 20.87, and his snap count was only 80%, no more than 80% for the 3 years that he was playing. So I kind of just wanted to highlight that he can be a true bell cow based off the statistics.
That's what I was saying earlier, Paul. He can be that guy.
I don't think that over time that's possible.
Well,
I'm not just so
wrong.
Sure that I want him to be the bell cow week one of September.
Why not? You just drafted him in the second pick in the NFL draft. I want to get an immediate return on my investment.
Is he prepared to do that physically and mentally?
Yes, he's the best player in the draft.
Okay, that's all right. Hey, look.
He's the best running back to come out of college football since Adrian Peterson how many years ago? Yes, he's ready.
Okay.
He's a stud.
He's very good.
We're splitting hairs here. No, we're not. And he can also return
punts
and kickoffs.
I'm okay to draft him.
He can return punts and kickoffs, too.
All right, go ahead. Real quick. We're running out of time. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I would even argue that he's going to be even better than AP.
Wow. I'd say it a lot.
For reps at the combine for the bench for running backs. So 36 is the record for running backs. He's going to set the record for that. P. Ryan had 30 last year, just to give you a ballpark. He's going to beat every single category of the combine set for running backs last year.
Yep.
Like, he's going to blow it up. So I just want to, you know, throw that at you with a grain of salt. I don't see us trading down if he's there. If the Browns do take him at number one, my hope is we get Minka. He's not just a safety. He's an incredible athlete.
He is a very good, terrific player. And, of course, with Betcher's system, he would be marvelous.
Exactly.
Mike, we got to run, though, because I got two callers left and we're running out of time. So appreciate it.
Okay.
Get back to us tomorrow.
I just want to – Saquon's from the Bronx, too, just in case anyone
– Okay.
Right.
I did not know that, but thank you. Coach Marvin, we got about a minute for you. Go ahead.
All right, real quick. Barkley, I already told you about Barkley.
Right.
He's legit ball. Take a good look. Don't let your eyes lie to you. He's good. The other thing I wanted to say is that if you're trading down, if you go back and look at the Wentz trade with the Browns, they got the Browns got their number one pick of that year. They got their three, and they got their four. And this year they have their they have the Eagles' number one pick,
mm-hmm.
and then the year after they have their second round pick.
Yes,
so they got 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the number two pick.
Yep, that's why I'm trying to say that's where the bar is for the shopping cart. I got to get four premium picks.
And that and you're talking that's 2 years. That was 2 years ago. That's what that was for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that means more this year.
It might be worth one more pick. So
yeah, that's what Paul's saying. Maybe five.
I know we got 1 minute. Real quick, you're looking for a linebacker. You get a chance to look at the one. There's a guy by the name of Durant Armstrong out of Kansas. He's an outside linebacker, plays in the 3-4. He's a rusher. So might be able to pick him up, hopefully somewhere second or third round, if they really need a linebacker, because they're not going to get the top ones. But this kid, he can rush the passer.
Excellent, Marvin. We appreciate it. Thank you. Bill, you're on line 3, last caller. Then I want to get a couple of quick one-liners off of you from Twitter. Go ahead, Bill.
All right. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hi.
Well, everybody's talking about the trades and everything, and I know we don't have much time, so I was just going to throw things out there since the previous callers were talking about the Browns, you know, taking Saquon, you know, first overall and stuff like that. But if, you know, just for the I guess just to, you know, throw it out there, if the Browns decided to take a quarterback and they were really, really sold on Saquon, would they potentially, because they have a lot of picks, would they move to jump the Colts and go to R2 to take a quarterback 1, Saquon 2?
Oh, boy.
And give us their 4, and then they have 2, they have 3 or 4 number 2s, I believe, this year.
Yeah, this is so complicated, and you're right. The Browns could throw an entire apple cart upside down with what they do with that number 1 pick. You're presenting one of about 10 different possibilities as to what the Browns could do.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
seriously.
They can dictate the draft.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question about it. But that's what happens when you're,
when
you know,
horrible.
0-4 for a million years.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'll tell you one thing they do win at. That's gathering draft picks, man. They do it better than anybody in the league.
So I agree with your premise. I don't know how it's going to shake down, but you are right. They control an awful lot.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad we snuck you in. Have a good day. Call us back again.
It really
All right.
Is interesting.
Real quick, one-liners. Giants chat on Twitter. I don't want to ignore these folks. I know they do like to sometimes get in electronically.
Smelk never answers them.
First name Will says Justin Pugh is a poor man's David Deal, but he can walk if he chooses to.
Absolutely.
All right, you with that?
Yep.
We've got A.J. Marshall says offensive line's the most important hole to fill in free agency. Quite a number of treats agree with him. I think we both actually agree with that as well.
I think as a whole, the offensive line. I mean, not particularly one position, because I think that when you're going to go after free agency, you're going to have to find a guy that's going to be out there that's rated high on your board and a free agent and go and get him, whether he's a guard or a tackle.
Big Dash 07088 says there's a big difference in just losing your hand and never having a hand to begin with. He doesn't want to compare Griffin to JPP.
Well, you know what? You're right. He's never had a hand.
So he's had to adapt from the beginning.
So from the beginning, you're right.
That is true.
That's a great point.
I can't dispute that.
It's a really good point.
We also have, James Jones says he thinks the Giants are losing a sixth rounder because of Cockrell's percentage of play. It's not going to be a seven. It's going to be a six. I will double check that when I get an opportunity. I don't want to say either one's factual. I may stand corrected. We'll reserve the right to change our information
well,
on
you,
that.
When you look back at how much he actually did play this season, that could be
started a lot.
True. It could be true.
Played a lot of snaps.
And the way that those are, they're all about performance. So, I mean, if he plays a lot, you're going to get more for the trade.
And by the way, he is a free agent.
Which,
I would bring him back.
Wouldn't you love to do that? Like with your car.
Yeah,
like
really.
Like, I'm going to trade my car in. And by the way, the next guy that gets it, he drove it. He said it's the best car he's ever had. So now you got to give me $3,000 more from what you gave it to me when I traded it in.
I understand.
That's ridiculous.
I understand. All right, got a bunch of other things here. Another gentleman, Paul Contreras, says second pick, second round, take Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
Where's the love?
Yeah, he's... He's,
I don't know.
He's thinking they still got to go QB, but not in the first round.
I don't know. No
Drew
way.
In North Carolina says, from the track record, Paul, you shouldn't be talking about Fleming because he knows every time that I'm infatuated with a guy, somebody else in the NFL either decides to pay him as a free agent or draft him in the draft.
Here's what we need to do. You need to tell me. I will say it. I'll say it.
Okay.
And then it will happen. But when you come out and open your big mouth and want to be right about everything, it doesn't work that way. Just tell me next time.
I got you. We should mention the Giants have waived linebacker Deontay Skinner today. A minor transaction to note. And finally, Freddie says, Mark Walton is another running back to look for if the Giants wanted to wait for later in the draft. We have another bunch of tweets talking about potential trades.
One more.
For the number two pick. Well, we got here. Ben Gruen says.
Oh, no, go to the first one. Go to Freddie.
I already mentioned Freddie.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Wait, did we talk about Mark? I totally missed that one.
Yeah, I said that already. Yeah. Ben Gruen says,
"You know who he is, right?"
Yeah, but I just but
you know what school he went to.
I'm not going there. Not with you sitting here.
Well, that's why I wanted you to say it.
All right, Miami.
Yes, there we go.
You like him?
Yeah, I do. I think he's
of course.
Yeah. All right.
Finally, you said one more, and then Matt's going to kick us out of here. Ben Gruen says, "If Buffalo offers two first rounders this year, that's 21 and 22." As well as their first next year, it's not worth moving back? Question mark. He says that's two first-round picks, 2 years in a row we'd have, and you know they'd have to throw in a second or third-round pick in there too. He's thinking that the Buffalo Bills are a great trading partner.
No.
I don't think so either.
Not that low.
I don't want to go that
23,
far.
23-24 is almost becoming a second-round pick.
The furthest I'm dropping is 15 to the Cardinals, and you said you're not even going that far.
I'm going 10. You got to stay in the 10. I'll give you maybe 11, but no way to the 15 and no way the 22nd, 23rd. I get what you're saying. Two firsts this year, a first round next year. So that means you're going to have four first rounders in the next 2 years, but they're going to be late picks.
Indeed. That'll do it for this edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good show. Good calls today.
Again, always hit us up at hashtag Giants Chat. He is at Jay Feagles. I am at Giants WFAN. If you want to hit us up during off hours, the number to call is 201-939-4513. The show returns tomorrow at 12 noon, as always, for 1 hour of Giants talk. It'll be Jeff Feagles with either me or John Schmelk. You'll have to tune in to find out who's in the chair.
I'll
we'll see you next time, everybody.
Later.